drink?
Sure, might as well.
Yeah. Now, some complain it's too far away. Someone complains it's too far away, the speaker. Who's hearing it? Yeah. Right, well, yesterday we were talking about a very interesting topic, very interesting in yesterday. The ending was yesterday about someone's got a light on in the bedroom and it disturbs him. That was a topic yesterday. Yeah? That was a whole topic of the show yesterday. It's made a quick stick on what we said. By the way, I must say, okay, let's just start from the beginning here. So we started off and we said that generally one can't ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for yourself on Shabbos. It means whatever you can't do on Shabbos, you must ask a malacha to do. That's generally the rule. First of all, a few exceptions. There's one exception is for chayre kalaku, for someone who's, I mean, not seriously ill, but someone's confined to bed, and certainly someone whose mum is seriously ill, the poshah is exactly even more. You can do it for him. But let's talk about someone who's shvach, is confined to bed, is not feeling so good. In that case, then you can ask a non-Jew straight out to to put the light off. The person can't sleep, disturbs him. He can't sleep. In such a case, then, you may ask a nochi straight out to put the light off. That's called chayla. And we said a chayla means a young child under 3 is definitely called a chayla. And even between 3 and 9, some poskim hold that's also called a chayla kalaguf. It's also a child that age. And I say needs to sleep. It's the way it's built. A child like that, it's also very needs looking after very well. And therefore, till that age, Levisa, till 9, many poskim, some poskim hold that's also called a chayla kalaguf. So therefore, if the lights are in the room and the child can't sleep, one will be allowed to go outside in the street and ask a nochi straight out to, what do you call it, to switch the light on. Sorry? No, it doesn't lights turn on at age. It's a different shin. Sorry?
Off.
What about off? On is much worse, you're going to see why it's worse. But the lights are talking about off, yeah? So take switching it off. For Chayre Kalakuf, you can ask a non-Jew to actually put light on as well, actually. For Chayre Kalakuf. And Mir Lakum is completely waived for Chayre Kalakuf. So there's no Issa, the Chazamim, no Issa of Nehne, all the Surim are waived. So you can ask a non-Jew anything you want for Chayre Kalakuf. So much, let's say the room is very dark, and a person wants to read in a room. And if he needs it, he's bored out of his mind, he needs to read in there, it's good for him to get, but he needs to be able to read. L'chol, you'll be allowed to ask your non-Jew to put a light on. That's for l'chol. In the case of someone's healthy, that's what we spoke about yesterday, a healthy child, or l'moshel, an adult, such a person, and the light's on in his room, which is very awkward. So yesterday we spoke about, can you ask a non-Jew to put it off? Al shmus to shmus. That's the word, a general heter, also in Amir Lakum, that if a non-Jew, which is, you mustn't ask him, it's Ostomir Rabbon to ask a non-Jew. But if he's doing an Issa Drabon, that means a non-Jew has to, let's say, carry, let's say someone is, someone's got, I don't know what, someone's got some grape juice, for example, in someone's house. There's no area in the town. But it's not going through a shusram. Can you ask a non-Jew to go and bring a bottle of wine from your neighbour's house to your house to use for kiddush? That's called shmus to shmus to mitzvah. It's an isra'on to ask a non-Jew. Carrying in the street is a camel. It's not a shusram. That's not a shusram. That's an isra'on to ask a non-Jew to do an isra'on on certain mitzvah is mutter. So who are they? Is switching a light off under the term mitzvah? You can't sleep. So that we said is not so simple, because the Maaseh Chaznish holds that playing electricity, all these things, is a shayla of a deraisa maybe. And since switching off is put on later, it could be a shayla of a deraisa. That's not so glatt. Others do allow it, actually. Others do say, the advice says that with regards to Hamir al-Akum, one can take on electricity as a drabon. And therefore you have got this heter. What we did suggest was better, maybe, a better etza is to do like this, is to do a remiza, to hint to a non-Jew, and then, after you've hinted to him, switching off a light is not called a positive benefit. And since it's not a positive benefit, switching off a light, there's no issue of having a no. That's what we said yesterday. Yeah? I just want to tell you that it's not so simple. In fact, just bring you a raya from this Rabbi Kneger, actually asked a question in Shulchan Aruch, that how can it be that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to open a letter for your child? Looks like you're allowed to open a letter. If someone brought down, I can't remember who's quoted from, I'm not going to wrong, they're allowed to ask a non-Jew to open a letter for you. So Rabbi Kiva Eger said, I've got a big question on this, and that is, what I said to you yesterday, is that even if a non-Jew, you're allowed to have benefit from what a non-Jew did, but the Chayyur, you've got an obligation to object to what he's done, if he's doing something for you.
Huh? Initially,
yeah, because that he holds that's called Tzurich Gufay. Because that's called your own Tzurich Aguf. He learns reading a letter. It's like you can tear food, so the Kazanish learns that reading a letter is also called Tzurich Aguf.
That's good, definitely.
Oh, so you got another shutam. I'm saying, but my son, okay, what's going with that Kazanish? Yeah, he's going now. How can you let a non Jew come into your house to open a letter, tear it? The Chayyim got Achiv Achor. Okay, it doesn't really know a text this Kasha actually. Now, the way we're answering, which we said yesterday. What? He's obviously talking about a letter you can read, because otherwise you can't open it. He's talking about a letter you can read now, or you've got a chashash, you're allowed to read it, so you're allowed to open it. But he's asking, why is there no chiyuv machor? Why is there not a chiyuv to stop the non-Jew opening a letter for yourself? That's a kasha, it's a big kasha. So we answered yesterday, which many Achim do give this answer, and they say that whenever there's no Isra Amir al-Akun, which there's no Hanor, or there's no Yitzhaseves Hanor, then there's no Isra Machor.
That's not the only one. And opening a packet of soup, opening a pack of biscuits.
You could do it yourself. There's no Yisrael Milakum, what you could do yourself. Whatever's mutter for you to do, there's no Yisrael Milakum. So if you're allowed to open a pack of biscuits yourself, there's obviously no problem the knowledge opens it. But you couldn't open the letter. We're talking about you can't open the letter. You can't open this letter on Shabbos. So now the Shai is getting a non-Jew to do it. So it's not called Hanor because it's just removing a barrier. But even so, Lachaira, says Rabbi Kibbe Eger, Lachaira is a problem because you must object to what he's doing. So, I'll tell you, it's not clear. In my sense, we go with the Aruch HaShavuos. The Aruch HaShavuos got a very, very big arichas about this, actually. In Shabbat Chav Beis, it's got a mamish, a big arichas about this whole parasha. Chav Gimel, see Chav Aleph. In my sense, he brings all different systems over here. He brings the Issa of having Hanor. I just want to, I don't want to go through the whole thing of it. He's got a mamish there. Oh, he says, the Maisa is an obligation to object to a non-Jew doing Melacha for you. It's like, even though it's an obligation to object to a non-Jew, many times we find you're allowed to let a non-Jew do something for you. So he wants to suggest this answer. Like we said, that maybe when there's no problem, when it's not giving you a new hanor, it's just removing something, there's no problem. At the end of the day, he says, there was a million kinds of to allow a non-Jew to switch a flame off. Yeah? This thing. Because they held that's not called a positive anor and there's no obligation of machor. It's not clear. Since it's not clear from this world clearly what he holds. It's not clear on Shabbos. The Maaseh, many people do take on like this kula, and they actually allow it. In the Sefer called, what's it called? Munim Melacha, I think it's called. Melacha Munecha, Melacha Munecha, from Rabbi Zilberstein. Actually, we've got a couple of mention here. He asked the Shabbos his Shabbos, Shabbat Yashav. And he wrote down in his Sefer, when he wrote his Sefer, the Maaseh, that to get a non-Jew switch a flame off, switch a light off his mutter. And he writes to the bottom, Rabbi Yashiv disagreed actually. Rabbi Yashiv said that you can't do. Rabbi Yashiv holds that this is a discussion, you've got a chiyuv to make an objection, and therefore you're not allowed to let a non-Jew switch a light off. But he brings others hold you allowed to. So it's an interesting question. This question over here of letting a non-Jew come into your house and doing something for you, even though it's not a positive or not, but some hold that there's a mitzvah to object, still to object, you have to object to what he's doing. Others say that it goes together. If there's no issa of nene or maisakon, whenever there's no issa of benefiting from what the non-Jew did, there's no obligation to make an objection as well. So that's what comes out. I can't say any more than that. The maisa, the minigal only nothing is to make it like this. If a light disturbs a person, that's okay. Yeah? That's the chayyur, what's going on. The chayyur, the same thing would be the mosh. Let's say the air conditioning is on, let's say. Someone set the air conditioning. He thought, lemaisa, it's going to be very hot over Shabbos. He listened to the weather forecast, which is not always so reliable. So he put the air conditioning on very, very cold. Lemaisa, this Shabbos, it worked, I got it wrong. It was freezing outside. So now, can you get a non-Jew switch that air conditioning off? So switching off again is not creating a new hanor. It's not creating something. It makes the room easier to sit, but it's not creating something new. So that would be the same side of it. Do a remiza to a non-Jew, hint to him that it's too very cold in there, and then the non-Jew switches off, that could be allowed, and you're not obligated to object in such a case. That's an interesting thing.
What if you, so usually there's a remote control hidden away during Shabbos, so can And the guy says, well, where's the controller?
That's all called the Eric Mies, actually. I mean, that's a good question. I know someone told me he had a shadow once that his alarm went off in the house. On, let's say it went on. His burglar alarm went on, yeah? So then you need a code.
You tell
the numbers,
yeah.
So the non-Jew tells you what's the code. Now, that's not Remisa, that, right? That is, it tells you what buttons you have to press. What?
Numbers,
it's more than mentioning numbers. I mean, you're mentioning the code to get into that thing to brush it off, yeah? Then actually, they say that's okay. Actually, I don't know why. That's all called Derech Mizah. The fact that it came in like that is all called Derech Mizah. That's, you'll have to tell him all the facts.
And switch the air conditioner on?
On is much worse. That's called a Hanor, probably. That is creating something. That's a big shy now. That we know in Shulchan Aruch that if someone's cold, you can get a non-Jew to put the heating on. Because Hakol Cholim Eitz Lad Sinah. Everyone's called a Cholim when it comes to cold. Does it work the other way around as well? Do we say that we're all called ill if it's too hot in the room? That's a bit chilly. The mice are many possible holding. You don't say this chilly actually there, right? Oh, yeah, that's it. You have to know how hot it is. Dimeisen is okay, the mice. Dimeisen says that you say both ways, as far as I remember. So that's something to say. Also, you have to look out. That just might be drop on. So you've got a schmutz to schmutz there, a machometer maybe. If electricity is a drop on, putting it on and putting it off, not like a chazanish, then you've got a schmutz to schmutz. But machem sal, machem, that's really much more lenient. You have to know about that. Finally, on this topic about candles, there's also an interesting question. Why if someone's got a candle in the room? It disturbs you, you can't sleep. So again, if you've got a choyle in the room, a choyle is in the room, and he wants to go to sleep, and the candle's burning in the room, it's disturbing him. What?
Knock it.
No, that's much more common. That's a good point, actually. Like, even though that's an Issa Drabon, that's a very common Drabon. Extinguishing a fire is a very severe Drabon. It's a very strict level Drabon.
With a shina,
yes. What you can do for chayla kol haguf, there's a halacha shulchan. You can do an isra bon for chayla kol haguf. So you could do that. You can carry it with a shina. Actually, you could carry it out with a shina. Muksa is an isra bon. To move muksa kalachayad for chayla kol haguf is certainly allowed. Many hold some of you can do it. Here in this case over here, so the chayla can't sleep. Yeah, the chayla can't sleep, and the mice is disturbing him. So in such a case there, a chayla kol haguf won't be allowed to take it with a shim, one can take it off. Sorry?
Yeah. Very careful, when you're carrying a candle,
it'll burn faster. First of all, like we said already, the flame going up and down a bit more, that's not really burning more. You're right, if you make a gust of wind, you have to move it carefully.
If you're moving it, it will be windy
for
the candle.
Yeah, you have to move it carefully.
Anyway.
Huh?
You're walking around,
it's
going to go up anyway.
Yeah, you have to know how far, you know, if you do it with a big force, you're right, Tucker. If you don't push in the force, that's okay, though, yeah? That's for choyle, for a healthy person. So for a healthy person, the candle light disturbs a person. There's also a chiddush that to move muksa malaskufoy, for tsoyrach, we can't move, but a non-Jew can move it for you. So you could ask a non-Jew to move the candle out of the room. Let's say a healthy person's in the room and he can't sleep. Disturbs him, they're allowed to ask a non-Jew to move the candle out. Yeah, that's okay to do. So the master, there are various eights of what to do. Someone's stuck with a light. I mean, these are all different eights that a person can do. Okay, that's more or less the halacha of light. I mean, it's complicated with light because people.
You know that someone who's tired is together.
We said this last night. I don't know if I'm not sure it's true. This I'm 100%. Because one night's sleep, I don't know if it makes you ill from that. The person misses out a night's sleep.
No, but
his
tiredness is enough to make him
do
it like that.
Yeah, but that's not my main chalakala goof. That's not chalakala goof. Now, I thought the next day it becomes very schwach. It's very weak the next day, not sleeping properly. But then people said, yes, I think it's right. Said, that doesn't make him to a chayla, I don't think. One night's sleep, not making such a good night's sleep. I think that's causing him to a chayla grew up.
That's a good, you've got a light on, you shouldn't.
That's a big shy of that. Is that called shuss to shuss?
On.
Yeah, but then you've got a, yeah, if you, yeah, I'm talking about on. Is that called shuss to shuss? To do an issa deraisa with a shinnery? Understand? Okay, what can I talk about, Corey?
Yeah.
That's a big question. And I say it's not so popular. That's a good challenge to ask. I mean, if one's mum is a very, very big soda, and one has a lot of them. Generally speaking, just to allow this, it's not popular at all.
No, it's okay, we have to be with the rem.
No, because schmutz to schmutz is mutter straight out. Schmutz to schmutz, you can have straight out. The rem is the new heter, yeah? Rem is the new heter, knowing somebody with akum, and then you do no hanor. That's the new heter. Schmutz to schmutz, you can have non-Jew straight out. So that's a big question. If you do a shinui in the malacha, the rice to come along a passage. Is that what you call it? Is that the heter in such a case? It's sort of parishing itself. Okay, so that's more or less this melacha of what do you call it, of kibbutz. Let's make a quick sikkum. So we said that normally, most kibbutz that we do, most times we extinguish something, is always a drabonon, because it's, you never do it for the purpose that was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, when a person extinguishes something, you're doing it for a beneficial purpose, for the thing you're burning out. You're extinguishing the wood, wherever it was, to make it a charcoal, that later it could burn much stronger, to have much more clear to burn. That's is a direction. So most of our kibbutz that we do are always drabonon. Means even we said last time, a person switches the light on, he wants to save some money, for example. That's not, there's no benefit in the actual switching off the thing. It happens to be a side benefit, you're saving yourself some money, but that's not a benefit in the actual thing you're extinguishing. And therefore it's always come out, always kibbutz is always to drabonon. It's very, very rare to have a kibbutz that you're doing which is derisive. I'm saying I can't think of a practical example really, I'm sure there are. But unless we said that someone wants to keep the candle, or someone's got a candle burning, we weren't sure about this actually, someone's got a candle burning, and he wants the candle to last, he needs the candle burning at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's 8 o'clock now, it's dark, but he needs it at 2 o'clock in the morning, so he blows it out and he can keep it for later. That may be, I'm not sure if that's the derisa. Otherwise, generally speaking, that's not, what do you call it, that's not a derisa. Anyway, it might not make much of a difference. It's always awesome to have one. It's still awesome to do. You can't put out a fire on the chalice, wherever it is, even if it's awesome to have one. That's number one. Then we spoke about opening a door near neighbours where the candles are, the washing will get affected. So if a person's got a door, and when he opens it, it's windy outside, or it's possible someone's wrong, that a wind might come and blow it out, the person should not open that door. In fact, the Ramon of Rome says even to open the door slightly, you can go through it, is also dodgy because we're scared a gust of wind might come and put it out. So you shouldn't put your candles in a place of where it can be blown out easily. Then we spoke about a candle that's tilting. So the Moshe, a person scared on Shabbos that it's going to fall. The Moshe, it's Friday night, he's eating his meal, and the candle looks like it's tilting. So we said there's no problem to put a metal cane or something underneath it. I mean, obviously, it's a constant force, there's no shame, put it out if there's going to be any second of washes, yeah? But a washer, let's say it's not a second of washes, you're there, you just want to stop it, what do you call it, doing the damage. So we said you could put a metal plate or something, any plate underneath there, which the candle will fall into. There's no issue of bitl kiri meichon, because as soon as the candle falls into it, it'll go out and you can shake the candle off. So you're not called mevatel keli meichon. Mevatel keli meichon means that you stop the utensil being used for a certain amount of time. Here, as soon as the candle falls into it, you can shake the tray off, and therefore there's no problem at all. That's not called mevatel keli meichon. That would be mutter to do. What is interesting, though, is that you mustn't put a keli, it's a gzeiros chazal, you mustn't have a keli with water inside it, and put it under a candle, which might tilt into it. It's a gzeiros chazal, very interesting gzeiros chazal there. Chazal, so we don't really do that because we're scared you might lift the keli up as the candle's falling, and that's mamish a kibbutz, because as the candle falls in, the water which you're holding in lifts up towards the candle, you're doing a maiso kibbutz, you shouldn't do it. The maiso, this is mutter though, people ask this, actually, an interesting one. Some people like to have neiros of oil burning on Friday night. Shaila is, are you allowed to, in fact, this gazera works even on the Erev Shabbos. This person shouldn't fill a keli of water under a nair, which is burning. Now, if the nair falls, it'll fall into the water. Even on the Erev Shabbos, you mustn't do it. So gazera, it might happen on Shabbos, you might lift it up, and it's scared. So now, there's an interesting question. Some people have glass nairus with oil in. But the maaser, to fill up a whole nair of oil is an expensive business. First of all, besides being expensive, it's burnt till tomorrow morning. It's very, very big. Can you fill out half water and half oil? What? Yeah, the maaser, that the possible say is okay. That we don't make a gzeira on, that is okay to do. That case is all in one keli, it's all been covered over. That's all in one thing. That is allowed to be done. There's no problem with that. Okay, where's the way?